Mitzvahs you have to check for. Other miyut, less than mitzvahs you don't have to check for. Whereas according to conventional wisdom, the case of Shechita was plotted to be a Motzui. According to one version, we showed them that wasn't true. The fact that numbers weren't true. So I wouldn't categorize that as a Lopdisha Machlakis. I categorize those with Tzis Machlakis. What are the numbers? You have to do the statistics. It's obviously very, very hard numbers to ascertain. I can figure that out. Rove Mitzui, Mira Motzui, not so simple at all. But if we go back to the case of Shechita, there is another factor in the case of Shechita. There is another issue that's taking place in that scenario of Shechita that's definitely going to impact on our sugya. It's going to open up for us really the whole other dimension of this sugya. So let's go back to that sugya for a moment. The Gemara tells us that most people know how to chef properly. Most people dare to pick up a Shechita knife and attempt a Shechita probably know what they're doing. And therefore, the ikra didn't have a rov. So halacha and I said, if the shochet can't be found, what am I sure allowed to meet? The rov rely on the rov. Our question is, do you have to be mevar or not? So some Hashem said yes, some Hashem said no. Different nuances. But there is an approach in Mishonim that, believe it or not, to make matters even more confusing, actually is the opinion of the ra'ah. This we have documented from their ra'ah in other places. The ra'ah is safe and Kabayis writes this way. There are small quotes as the name of the ra'ah as well. The following new understanding of that Gemara, Rove Mitzirei Teshchita Mumkanei. We thought the word Rove meant Rove. You can't blame us for that. That's what it usually does mean. Says the Ra'ah, no. Rove Mitzirei Teshchita Mumkanei means Kol Mitzirei Teshchita Mumkanei. Every single person who would dare pick up a knife check is an expert. It's not even a latest a suffix otherwise. It's not even a suffix. It's not even a meal. The Moshe of the Vedomia, would you say that an amateur would decide on his own, I'm going to go do surgery? You know what? I never went to medical school, never passed high school bio, but hey, I'll give it a shot. So what do you think the odds of that happening are? We would hope the answer would be, not just, well, most people don't do that, and the hope the answer would be, nobody does that. Zero does that. Comes around and says, for a person to have your destiny to pick up a shechita knife, I go over to the Abbot Fat Shecht and say, well, I never really learned to the Shechita. I have no idea what I'm doing, but you know what? I'll give it a shot. We'll give it a kick, see what happens. Says the Ra'ah, that's not even a meal. So the Ra'ah has just introduced for us a new category in terms of robes and meals. There's a meal ha-motzoi, there's a meal she'ein ha-motzoi, and there's a zero. Says the Ra'ah, it has reached the point where the dissenting possibility is so insignificant, so infinitesimal, it doesn't exist. Even if you get to find me one in 1 billion person, maybe the absolute machine, the one machine that does surgery without knowing what he's doing. Okay, you know, so you reach the point where it's very hard to say 100% about anything. You know, one thing we've learned, one of the many things hopefully we've learned from these last 8 months is that don't say anything with 100% certainty. We don't know what tomorrow's bringing, we don't know what today's bringing. There's a certain degree of suffering in our lives. You should get a good mussy you can get from the back of your Purell bottle, something that most of us read all the time. I imagine it says in the back of the Purell, but I imagine it probably says the same thing that all of them say, and I can't find it exactly, but it's good for 99.9% of germs. Why do they say that? If someone's going to sue them, I'm all... Guy's going to find you a 1 in a billion germ that the Purell doesn't kill. Oh, that 1 in a million is not COVID. but the 1 in a billion germs that the Purell doesn't touch, therefore they have to be safe about it. And it's 99.9%. So comes around and says, for all practical purposes, Rove Mitzirei Teshchita means kol. Every single person under the sun who attempts Teshchita knows exactly what he's doing. You have a comment exactly to the Rash discussion. The Rash attacks the Ra'ah, and one of his primary attacks is the word Ra'ah doesn't mean kol. That's exactly what he says. Because I wanted to say kol, they would say kol, but they said Ra'ah. So by going down this route, the Ra'ah has, of course, changed the facts of the ground in terms of Asugya. So the Ra'ah basically buys into the other approaches that we showed him. But if and when you have a miyut hamotzi, you have to reckon with it. But don't even ask a kasha about shechita. Forget about shechita being a miyut chen hamotzi. It's not a miyut altogether. It doesn't exist. What prompted their awe to go down the tree? Why did their awe have to turn the world upside down to say this? Wouldn't it have been enough just for him to say, it's a mere she'eino motzi? He would have had the same conclusion. We don't be choshishmer. And the truth is, there are actually two different versions of what their awe said. If you remember, we said that there was one version that the Rizva said, is that the shechita is a mere she'eino motzi, and that would have solved, that would have come to the same conclusion. Once it's a mere she'eino motzi, you don't have to worry about it. What did the Ra'on gain by going the extra mile and making this an eino mute cloud problem? It's a zero, it's an absolute zero percentage point. What do you accomplish with it? So the Ra'on had a reason for what he said. He didn't just say stop to change the meaning of the words. The Ra'on was very sensitive to that meaning. Abu Bichain, he felt compelled to, in a sense, change the meaning from rove to cold based on the following sugya. It's somewhat of a complicated sugya. We'll try just to extract the part that we need. But it's fundamental to everything we're talking about. And it's going to hopefully help us flesh out these basic Shas concepts of Rov and Mius. So we take a look at the 10th of the Marmikomos. It's a secret tucked away in the end of Masechet Yevamos. And of course, you test in Yevamos. So, before Daf Yomi came around, you had to really, really, plug away to get the Yevamos Kufya test. I mean, you had to go 119 blind into one of the hardest Maseches in Shas to make it that far. I remember I was once somebody was telling me they were learning what they call the backwoods of Maseches Yevamos, the very, very ends of Maseches Yevamos. The fellow said to me, had a good lush, and he said he has the feeling that the last people to be here were Rashi and Tosfos. He said, this is just so hard. The very end of Maseches Yevamos, the beginning of the 16th parak, the 10th of the Rebbe comes. A woman of Rachel is married to Reuven, but Reuven happens to have another wife as well. He has a tzor, he has Leah. This is obviously pre the days of Chemda ben Gershom. Obviously, Bismarck is there, this would not be relevant for us. But in the old days, it was permissible. Not saying it was recommended, but it was permissible for a person to have two wives. So Reuven goes on a trip with the other wife, with the co-wife, with the tzor, with Leah, and Rachel is left behind. And now the problem becomes, Ubal v'amula meisbailech. She gets a message that the husband died. So as long as she has Eidos, and the Gemara's Mishnah tells us in Yevamos, you don't even need two Eidim, even one Eid would be sufficient for this. But as long as she has the proper clarification that her husband died, so she would be permitted to remarry. What makes this case so complicated is that her husband, to the best of her knowledge, didn't have any children, so that it's not so simple she could remarry. She has to first undergo chalitza, or she has to marry the brother. She has to either give him a chalitza. So now we're in a little bit of a quandary. Why are we in a quandary? Because we're not 100% sure that the husband didn't have any children. Because if the husband went with the co-wife last week, and we know the co-wife wasn't pregnant last week, so now she didn't have a child. But if they went 2 years ago, how in the world are we going to know? Maybe that co-wife, maybe that Sarah had a child. So if we would know for a fact she had a child, then great. Even though Rachel didn't have a child, that doesn't matter. What matters is, did the husband leave a child? So if we would know for a fact that Reuben had a child with the other wife, then Rachel would go off without anything. She wouldn't require you b'chalitza, but she would just marry whoever she wants. But since we don't know that, that puts us into a serious problem. The Mishnah says, Lo tinase v'lo tisyabin. She cannot remarry a stranger because it could be that she's what we call the kuka liyibo, the kuka chalitza, because there's a possibility that the husband did not have any children. Could be nothing happened in the last 2 years. On the other hand, she can't do yibum either. She can't assume that she requires yibum chalitza and go ahead and marry the brother because there is a possibility that the husband did have a child. And if he had a child, then there's no mitzvah of yibum chalitza. If there's no mitzvah of yibum chalitza, to marry a brother, shalom v'mokom yibum, is an issur kares, an issur arayis of eish hazach. So until we find out what's going on, we have a big problem that she can't marry a regular person because maybe she does require chalitza. She can't marry the brother because maybe she doesn't require yibum chalitza, so she has to remain in place. Now, it would seem that there's a simple solution to this problem. Let her just do chalitza. That's the easiest solution. So the Gemara actually discusses why that may or may not be a viable option. And then technicalities, again, when you get to the backwoods of your mums. So get to that some one of these days. But I hope the way things stand now, putting chalitza off the table right now, she's really, really hands are tied. So comes the Gemara with a startling question. in the second part of Maramachim number 10. So in theory, that would knock out Yibum. Yeah, she wouldn't be able to do Yibum if Leah's pregnant. She may have to wait. It's complicated. It's a little bit complicated. When pregnant without having the baby yet is a whole other part of a sexy bonus. So let's just...
When he died, you have to wait, let's say, 3 months.
She would have... Well, okay, right. That's another story. Right, that would be a different thing. Right. Okay, that's under normal circumstances. Right. Okay. So come to the word, analyzes this Mishnah. Gishlama Yevume Lo. I understand why she can't do Yibum. Why? The Duma Ma'abra, the Kabakabashis Akhtar Aisa. Because it's possible that Leah's pregnant. She may be pregnant, she may have already had a baby. We don't know. And once she's already pregnant, so then there's no mitzvah of Yibum Mechalitza. And then to do that would be a violation of Eshazach. So that would be an Esoder Aisa. So to do Yibum is clearly out of the question. Now, Lotino Simai, why can't she get married? We should let her get married. Why? Listen to why we should let her get married. The odds are Leah had a baby already. They've been away for the last 5 years. The odds are Leah became pregnant. The odds are Leah had a child. The odds are that Rachel is Mutelis Lashuk. She can marry whoever she wants. It's a rove that's permitting her. So all of a sudden, the Gemara is invoking one of our favorite principles, Haramahatus. It's a rove. It is a statistical probability. It's not what we call a Ruben to Isekaman. It's not that we counted up 10 stores and we found a piece of meat and we could assume it came from one of those 9, not the trade store. That's a Ruben de Isekaman. That means we counted up the Roman front. Ruben de Lasekaman means it's a statistical probability that we just did some basic, anecdotal research, so to speak. And it appears that most women, a woman goes with her husband on a trip 5 years later, the odds are she's probably going to have a child that comes back. Rove Nashim is Abbas Fiodos. So comes the Gemara and says, let's rely on that rove and permit this woman to get married. Ramah Hatos, what's wrong? So comes the Gemara and says, the third part of our Mappa number 10, Elamah Ramah, Reisha Chazaka Liyibum Veruba Lashuk. The problem is that her status quo is pointing in the direction that she cannot marry a stranger. Because 5 years ago, when the husband and the tzara went on the trip, she was a Kuka Liyibum in a sense. She was Omedus the Kaftav Yibum, because the last information that we knew was that the husband did not have a child. So the Chazaka, the status quo is that she would not be permitted to marry a stranger, because the Chazaka was that she's a Kukul Yibum. On the other hand, the Rove is pointing in a direction she's probably not subject to Yibum, not subject to Chalitza, because the Rove is that the co-wife had a baby. So now you have almost a conflict, a clash between two different principles in halacha. On the one hand, Rove points in the direction she's muteras, lashuk, she can marry whoever she pleases, because the co-wife probably had a child already. On the other hand, the chazaka is pointing in the other direction, that she cannot marry a stranger, because as of 5 years ago, the husband did not have a child. What do you do when you have a Rove against the chazaka? What is the following calculation? The chazaka or the kiruba? The Chazaka is not quite up to par to the Rove. The Rove is a little bit better than the Chazaka. However, I see miuta de mapilos smoch le Chazaka, avale palga upalga, lotinosim lo pisya. The Gemara concludes that if we had a blackboard here, we would draw out Rove is a green light, Chazaka is a red light. But even within the green light of Rove, there's something that's gnawing at us, something that's bothering us, namely there's a miut. There is a possibility that she didn't have a baby. There is that possibility that Mapilos, maybe she miscarried, maybe she didn't have a baby. So it's possible that, again, it's a statistical, small percentage, but it exists. So once you have a miut on the table, miut Mapilos, that's what's called smoke miut al chazaka. Yeah, that miut combines with the chazaka, and now it's 2-1. So you had one factor point the other direction, give you her a green light, marry whoever you please. That's what the rove. The chazaka is telling us, stop, don't marry whoever you want, whoever you please. And the miut is giving credibility to that chazaka. So you have two forces, combining forces together. You have two factors that are combining together that are saying, stop. Don't marry Sophia. Not so posh if you're allowed to marry. The rove is screaming, get married, hey, mazel tov, b'shar tov, go out, you rove nashim, you're besamas v'yodah. The chazak is saying, hold off, and the miyut also say, hold off. Says the Gemara, smoch miyut on the chazaka, v'havel le palga upalga. Now the lochav use it as a stalemate. Well, tinas lo sisyavim, so I hand the tie, and that's trying to miss them. She cannot remarry because she has a smoke with lechazafa. She cannot have yibum either because there's a robe that says she's not supposed to be having yibum. That's what the Mishnah says. Until further clarification, she could do nothing. Again, why she can't do chalitza? So that's a technical question. That's references right now. So what all the dust settles, the Gemara just told us a whole new principle that we weren't familiar with. Namely, when you have a robe, we have a chazafa that's counteracting it. You don't just simply follow the rove. You say, smoke miut with chazaka. You combine the miut with the chazaka, the isla ruba, and it creates a 50-50, so to speak. And now you have to deal with that problem. That's what emanates from Hesugya. Comes the Ra'av and says, wait. He says, how in the world can the Gemara in Chulin tell us, rove mitzune tishchita mumchen hein, and therefore you're allowed to eat the animal? This seems to be a classic example of smoch mit l'chazaka. One, you have a rove that the shochet probably knows what he's doing. On the other hand, the heimer b'chayeha, the cheskes is remedet. Before the animal was shechted, you're not allowed to eat it. An animal's not allowed to eat when it's alive. So the status quo was osur. The rove is mutter. So now you have a clash between roves and chazakas. What do you do? Smoch mit l'chazaka. Take the miut of some shochtim don't know what they're doing. Some people don't know what they're doing. Smoke mit l'chazaka v'shle ruba. And just as in Yevamos, combine the miut of women who are not having the babies, combine them together with the chazaka, and that creates an issue of getting remarried. Let's combine the exact same factors in the shchita. Combine the miut of people who don't know what they're doing to the chazaka of the behemoth of the Isra Omedes, to Isra ruba, and that should overcome the row. So how can there be a principle called Robotet Tishkin? That's the Ritvot's Kashmir. So you take a look now on the top of the page of the Mar Mekomos, it's so far in Mar Mekom number 9. This is a quote the Ritvot's having from his Rebbe, the Imtaimer, top of the page. The Chirobotet Tishkin Bukhane Mehavi, what do you gain by declaring there's a robe? What do you gain by telling me statistically you have a robe of shelf to know what they're doing? The Ike Cheskis Behema, there's still a Chazoka to reckon with. Every animal is also to be until proven otherwise. Can the Isa the command be perkin? The Imkain, once there's a chazak that counterbalancing the rove, smoch miyot she'ein yodin l'chashchita, combine together the miyot, the people who don't know what they're doing, l'chazakazil, to the chazakah, v'havali kepalga palga, and that should be stalemate. So how can there be a din of rove mitzvah v'mukhari? We've been tippling. You have to ask l'chadchila not, but the evidence of the shaykhit left, everyone agrees it's okay. That's the Gemara of the first, it's okay. Yes, there are, why is it okay? What is the difference between the sugi in Chulin and the sugi in Yavamas? And the Ritva now quotes directly that sugi of Yavamas. That as the Gemara says, Yavamas could be tested, which is the Gemara that we just read. Yesh betaitzim, says the Ritva, there are those who say, the rov mitzuyin deko amahocha, love dafka rove. When the Gemara says rove, man, come on, it means all, everybody is a shech. No one knows what they're doing. So there's nothing left. There is no miut. So when do you say smoch miut on chazaka? When there's a miut, if there's no a degree of miut that anyone can even have to reckon with, because it's kol mitzuyin, then you fall back on the rule of rove. Bitar chazaka. Who are the Yesh Betartim? This is none other than the Ritva's own Rebbe. This is the Ra'ah. This appears in the Sefer Bevekabayas, where the Ra'ah gives this approach. And of course, the Rash, but one of the main issues the Rash takes issue with is that linguistic point, namely, if the Gemara meant Kol, why did they say Kol? Why did they confuse with saying Rove? So if I say, this Ra'ah has now changed the dynamics of our Sugya. Because we started out with the assumption, because we were convinced by the Ramban and the Ran. And that's the again, conventional wisdom of the sugya, that there are three sugyas that discuss the principles of Biyat HaMotzi. There's Agamar and Pesachim about rove people do B'dikas Chametz, but there's still a Biyat HaMotzi there, though. that Rov lungs are really the Sbira Motsui that perhaps has a problem. And the third is most people know how to shech, but there's a Sbira Motsui that don't know how to shech. But all three of these cases, the Rabban and the Ran told us, you have to be Mavar, you have to be Mavar. So came some Rishonim and said, first of all, maybe that whole principle is not correct. That was one approach. Then he had another Rishonim and said, the principle is fundamentally right, but not all three cases fall under the threshold of Viyata. Hamatz, it could be that the Shechita case may be a little bit less than a Bira Motsui. And now you have the Ra, Ritva, the Ra, who are changing the whole dynamics of the Sugya, saying, wait a second. Bira Motsui, yeah, that's a problem. Shechita, forget about it not being a Bira Motsui. It's not a Bira altogether. It doesn't exist. There's no Bira Kihuzah when it comes to the Shechita, because Kol Mitzvah is a Shechita Mumkadeh. What forced the Ritva, the Ra, to change Rove to Kol? The Gemara Nivav is not confused. Because they were so bothered with the Gemara Nivav with Kufi Tess, that's what made them change the rules of the game. That's what forced them to go a little bit to the textual, a little bit of a push to the text a little bit from Rove to Kol, because otherwise they were overwhelmed with this kasha. But the question becomes, do we really have to change everything in the Shechita model because of this kasha from Yevamos? The clue the Ramban, the Ram didn't change it, the Rishon didn't change it. How did the other Rishon address why don't you apply that principle of smoke mitl chazak v'sle ruba in the case of the shechita? Unless you're willing to change the word kol rov to kol, you have to answer in lumdus manishtan a shechita from other cases. Manishtan a shechita from yivamus. How come in yivamus we're choshesh and we say smoke mitl chazaka? And some of the shechita, we're willing to ignore the miut, and just the mikra did it's okay. That's great, but mikra did it's okay. What happened? Here comes the Ritva himself, the top of the ninth in the Ramakamah, and offers another shot. Two lines to the bottom. Believe me, it says Ritva. The Ritva is calling my Rabbi, the Ra'ah, the Yesh B'taitzim before, who changed Rov to call. Says the Ritva, though. There's a big difference in two cases. In the case of Yevamos, what's the miut? The miut is that maybe that woman, the co-wife, didn't have a child. That's the miut. If she didn't have a child, then there's no question that the woman who's left behind, Rachel, cannot get married to a stranger. She requires even a chalitza. So our tzad that the miut is true, for sure you have a problem. We don't know that it's true, but if confirming the miut is true, then for sure it poses a challenge. In the case of shechita, let's play the game a little bit. We'll play along with you. Maybe the miut is true. Maybe the fellow doesn't know what he's doing. Maybe the fellow's a total amateur. He never passed a shechita v'chida. There's no clue what he's doing. Maybe he's the guy who shechted this animal. Guess what, says the Ritva? Even if that meal is true, how do you know the animal's an avela? Maybe he had good luck. Maybe he did it right anyway. It's possible, yet unlikely. If I would try to shecht an animal now, it probably wouldn't be good. But not 100%, it's a possibility. So it could be that not knowing what I'm doing, I succeeded. There could be the surgeon who went in there and did the brain surgery without having graduated high school or bio. It could be, you got it right. Probably not, but it could be. It's not definitive. Comes the response says, the man of Amamurim that we combine miut to chazakas and offsets rove, that's when the miut, this could be a strange phrase, when the miut is betars badai, when the miut is certain, we don't know that the miut is there, but if the flow is there, it's certainly posing a challenge, certainly posing a problem. That kind of a miut can combine together with chazaka and offset a rove. But with the miut gufa, it's questionable. Even if the miut is true, we still not even sure we have a problem. So that doesn't bother us. That doesn't concern us. We don't join forces. Such a miut doesn't join forces together with chazaka. That's the assault of the ritva. So you see, the ritva is bending over back, was trying to understand. He doesn't want to go down the route of the rabbi. Rebbe's approach was as radical. It changes the word rov to coral, but at least we appreciate why they were always doing it. because he was so bothered with the Gemara Masechet Yavam, he couldn't tell him the Zechilim to the Tesugia. Whereas the Ritva is saying, no, there's no need to change Rof to Kol. And Abba Bichay, that principle, that Smoch Mitla Chazaka, has to be fine-tuned. It only applies when the meal is a Vadeidika problem. When the meal itself is towards the question, the Chiyagavna, it wouldn't apply. So, as you can imagine, we still have plenty of work to do. We still got a few more Makaris left of this. We have a lot of different odds and ends to do to try to iron out the sugyas of rows and meal. So it started off as a B'dikas Chometz question. We haven't said the word B'dikas Chometz in 3 days, but hopefully, Mr. Shem, we have to put the final touches on the sugya. I didn't say when that'll happen. It may take us a whole week to put the final touches, but there's still a lot to talk about in the sugya. You guys, you can well see, this is a real plot. This is a Sheikh Schweitzer, you know, some yeshivas. They give chaburs and Sheikh Schweitzer and roads and chadakas and snakes. This is the real McCoy. And so now, hopefully, Mr. Shem, the next year, we'll try to continue on.
Rabbi, yeah. Do you think that the